Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peake, host of the Her Podcast. Hey, welcome to our show in episode 475 as we share the truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her strength. Yeah, we're talking strong mind, strong body here. Oh, this is going to be a great show because you know how I rant and rave about this anyway. But before we begin, just know that this episode is sponsored by Solaray Vitamins, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y Vitamins. These are vitamins, minerals, and herbs rooted in nature, and they've got a special gift for women, the new award-winning Her Life Stages products. And they provide support for the menstrual years through PMS, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. Hey, that's her whole hormonal journey. It's kind of an integrative, holistic approach to having a woman's back throughout her life journey. To learn more about her life stages, run on over to your local health food store. Check it out at solaray.com, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y.com. It's also in Vitamin Shop. It's in Whole Foods. It's kind of everywhere. So scope it out. You'll be glad you did. And here's a reminder to click on to iTunes to rate and review today's show because the entire Her Podcast team just loves your feedback. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about Her.
So, we're talking about strong mind, strong body. Huh. You know, when I wrote Body for Life for Women, everyone kind of looked at me crosswise saying, wait a minute, you're wearing a stethoscope and you're wearing an exercise outfit and you're talking about women getting strong and paying attention to their body composition. What up with that? We thought it was all about aerobic, aerobic, and aerobic. Nothing wrong with aerobic. Obviously, we need that. But there was something else missing. So today, our expert is Rachel Cosgrove, who wrote Age Strong, A Woman's Guide to Feeling Athletic and Fit After 40. Oh, listen, seriously, that sounds like Mission Impossible. What? Feeling athletic and fit after 40, we're going to hear more about that. Oh my gosh. So Rachel is the founder of Results Fitness University Business Coaching and Consulting. And she's been working as a fitness professional for many years. She's an international presenter and the best-selling author of The Female Body Breakthrough as well. And she's been featured in most of the fitness magazines, including Women's Health and Oxygen and Shape. And in 2012, she was the IDEA Personal Trainer of the Year. Rachel, welcome to the Her Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be here.
So Rachel, why'd you write this book?
And by the way, your book was one of the first books, you know, way back when I got started in the industry. Loved your book. And, you know, I love that path you've been on. And it's so awesome that you've been inspiring women. And that's the path I'm on. And that's why I wrote the book. We opened our gym 24 years ago. And so 24 years ago, we had a lot of women join our gym in their 40s or approaching 40 and joining our gym, working with us. And so as I coached these women over the last 24 years, I was a 25-year-old at that time. And so meeting my 40-plus-year-old clients, they'd say to me, you don't understand. Wait till you're over 40. And so as a personal trainer, I thought, well, we'll see. You know, right now we're going to, you know, get you lifting weights and we're going to do all the things to help you to be as fit and healthy as possible. And so over that time, they trusted me. They trusted our process and they continued to get stronger, fitter, healthier as they aged. And so many of the clients that have trained with me and at our gym have reached their peak health and fitness in their 40s, 50s, 60s. And so a lot of these women have been coaching with us starting in their 40s and now in their 60s because they've been with us for 20 years. And so it's been really cool to be able to see, you know, them on their journey. And so now, as I am a 49-year-old looking at 50, you know, in the middle of this, you know, in my 40s, I was really writing this book for selfish reasons, I would say. I was excited to sit down with our clients and go, you know, back when I was 25 and you were telling me that it was going to get hard after 40, well, let's sit down and talk because, you know, we've been able to together figure out how to keep you getting fitter, healthier, and stronger as you age. And I want to know what's working for you. And so it was really about, you know, capturing what had been working for all of the clients that we had been working with. Seeing them, they inspire me. And I want to inspire as many women as I can to lift weights. You know, strength training is the main thing that we do at Results Fitness. We help them to fall in love with lifting weights and not be afraid of heavy weights.
When you were 25, why did you care about women who are 40 and over?
So I really landed on helping women early in my life. I have a lot of strong women in my life. I have my mom, my sister. I've had a lot of women in my life who've been very influential for me that, you know, I've looked up to. And so I wanted to help every woman that I worked with or even family members to find their potential and find what would work for them to really, you know, be at their best. And so, you know, I, on my own journey, was on that path as well, figuring out as a woman. And when I landed on lifting weights, you know, especially like back 24 years ago, a lot of women weren't, right? A lot of women were scared to get bulky. Like, oh my gosh, you know, if I lift weights, I'm going to sprout big muscles. And so when I started to realize how much my body was changing and how good I felt from strength training, it really became my mission to help as many women as I could to realize the power of strength training.
Huh. And have you always been in fitness? And tell us of your beginnings.
Sure. So I grew up actually in a family that struggles with obesity and struggles with their weight. My dad, though, he was a gym goer and he did first take me to the gym. So I was the first, you know, going to the gym, and he used to lift weights. And I used to, of course, hit the treadmill or do light weights for lots of reps because I was, you know, scared to get big and bulky. And I was in dance. So I was part of, you know, I grew up dancing and, you know, got pretty serious with my dancing career, but realized I didn't have a dancer's body. You know, my legs weren't long and I didn't look like the typical dancer. And so that's where I really started to want to look a certain way, feel a certain way. And so on my journey down the aerobics path, down, you know, I taught aerobics classes, I taught spin classes. And it wasn't until I landed on strength training that I really started to look and feel the way that I wanted to look and feel, and realize that it was the answer to long term be able to continue to, you know, be able to look the way that I wanted to look.
So you've really been fairly athletic most of your life.
I have. Yeah. Most of my life, I have enjoyed athletics for sure.
Good. So let me ask you a question. You were 25 years old when you were really thinking about women who are 40 and over and wanting to help them, and probably realizing that was at that time, 20 years ago, whatever, 25 years ago, that this is a group that really needs it, probably a little less so in those days than someone who was 20 years old. But now that you're coursing through your 40s yourself, what are some eye-openers for you about the 40s where you maybe are surprised, like, what, with regard to your body and with regard to your own training?
As you approach 40, it really can become a slippery slope. You either are heading on one path or another. And that's really, for me, what I realized as I was approaching 40, I actually, you know, I'd gotten more sedentary. I was traveling a lot. My lifestyle had, you know, I was not as active as I was when I was younger. I was, you know, personal training and on the floor, you know, coaching and doing a lot more activity. Now I was sitting at a desk. I was writing more. I was, like I said, traveling. So sitting on an airplane, eating what I could eat on the road. So it was a slippery slope. And that's the same thing that I see with our clients. It's this slippery slope of, you know, you don't realize that slowly over time you've gained 2 pounds and then you've gained another 2 pounds. And then, you know, and so it was at one of my physicals, you know, went to every year I go get my physical with my doctor. And as I was approaching 40, I had realized that, over the last few years, I've been gaining a couple pounds every year. And so, you know, a couple pounds you don't think is a big deal until 3 years later, 4 years later, 5 years later, you're like, wow, I'm 10 pounds heavier than I used to be. And of course, you know, went and did a body composition test. You know, we have an in-body at our gym. And so maybe it's all muscle, right? Wasn't all muscle. And so started to realize, I am actually on the same path that a lot of my clients have been on as they entered into their 40s. And I'm not going to become a statistic. I got to, you know, this is part of, you know, really getting myself figuring out, okay, you know, things are different, right? Things are, I got to really make this a priority. I think it is, recovery is different, right? So really making sure that you have your schedule so that you prioritize. I think our schedules are different, our priorities are different. So it's really figuring out what's going to work for me now in my life, right? It's different from what worked for me at 25 in my life. And so figuring out, all right, how can I make sure that as I age, I'm going to age strong and I'm going to age fit and I'm going to feel good. So it was really a wake-up call for me. I definitely had a similar feeling of that slippery slope. And so, you know, I started to set some goals for myself. I started to get into obstacle course racing and started to get, you know, real goal oriented. I've always, like you said, been athletic. And so I've always liked to have a goal in mind when I'm training. And so I actually, in my 40s, have learned some new skills. I've learned how to do monkey bars. I've learned how to climb a rope. I've basically set myself new goals that I've started to really work towards and realize it doesn't matter what age you are. You can learn a new skill. You can get stronger. You can get fitter. So really to start to make it a priority for myself, you know, I wanted to make sure I was on the right path, not the path of the slippery slope that I started to head down of getting weaker, getting in worse shape, becoming less independent. And, you know, really as you age, not being able to do all the things you want to be able to do in life.
What did you do with your nutrition to be able to shed the extra pounds that you were gaining?
I definitely prioritize protein, really making sure, looking at my, you know, my nutrition, as I, like you were saying, when I notice, okay, the 10 extra pounds, how do I make sure this is not going to hang with me and continue on that path? Started to look at my nutrition and really started to focus on making sure I was getting enough protein, decreasing alcohol. So, you know, I think as we get into our 40s, not that I drink a ton of alcohol, but definitely my body doesn't tolerate it. So having a glass of wine with dinner, couple glasses of wine with dinner, not as often as I could before. So definitely less alcohol, higher protein, and, you know, just really paying attention to my body and, you know, making sure that I'm pushing myself in the gym. I think that's, you know, a big thing. I think it's easy to get complacent in the gym. So as much as the nutrition is a big piece of it and that it does need to support your training, also making sure that you're not just doing the same things that you've been doing in the gym and, you know, kind of hitting a lid of not lifting any heavier and kind of just keeping everything the same. And then your body's, you know, not going to end up getting any stronger or any fitter.
So now that you're, you know, here in your 40s, what are you doing to prepare for your 50s?
So this is, you know, why I really wanted to sit down with all of our clients. I mean, we have one client who's in her 70s, who's been with us since she was 56 when she joined. And she's my inspiration. She's like, you know, I tell her all the time, like, I want to be you when I grow up. She's 72. She actually just got 2 gold medals at the senior athletic games in Pasadena this past weekend. So really like continuing on that path, right? So as she was in her 50s, she was 56, she realized, I can't do the things I want to do. I'm not who I want to be. And that's when she came in and hired us. And one of her wake-up calls was realizing that she couldn't carry her grandbaby. She was watching her grandbaby and she was nervous that she wouldn't be able to carry her grandbaby up the stairs. You know, she was like, didn't have the balance, didn't have the confidence, didn't have the strength. And that was her like, aha of like, I need to do something different. And so she came in and hired us and we started her on a strength program and have progressed her over time. And she went from, you know, having to ask people to help her in the grocery store to get the bottles of water to put onto her cart to now, you know, she's the one who is saying, hey, do you need some help with your bottles of water? Let me help you get that on the cart. She can deadlift over 200 pounds. She, like I said, doing activities. She's done, you know, different mud runs, powerlifting meets. And, you know, now, like I mentioned, the athletic game, she did discus throw and shot put. And her grandkids, you know, instead of being on the sidelines, when they go play volleyball, she jumps in and plays with them. And I think that's really what it's about. It's about being able to experience more in life. And that's what motivates me. That's what, when I think about, you know, as I'm going into my 50s, I want to be able to jump in and say yes. You know, I want to be able to experience everything I can experience out of life. And, you know, I think it's like this second act, right? Like, here we are, you know, we're halfway through our life. And like, what is that second act going to look like, right? And I want to make sure that, you know, as I'm heading into this second act of my life, that I'm able to say yes. And I'm, you know, in my 50s, in my 60s, in my 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, that I'm able to continue to experience as much as I can in life.
How are you folding in the changes that are taking place with perimenopause and menopause? It's not just about walking around a gym and picking up some weights and rocking it. Women during their 40s and 50s and beyond are going through a very powerful hormonal transition. And that in and of itself is changing up body composition just physiologically. At the same time, it also affects appetite, it affects energy levels, it affects mood, and so many other physiologic and biological issues, including sleep. So when you're working with women in their 40s and 50s, because in the United States, menopause tends to occur around the age of 52 on average, how are you integrating that parallel process?
Absolutely. Hormones are powerful. And that's something that part of why I wanted to sit down with all of our clients is to really discuss that, going through that change, what that was like for each of them. Sitting down with all of them, everybody, what I've realized, everybody's different, right? We all have a different journey. Our bodies are different. The way we go through perimenopause and menopause is going to be different. And so as we are, our hormones are, you know, changing and we're going through that change, the bottom line is controlling what you can. We can't control everything and we can't control our hormones and the changes we're going to be going through. But there is a lot that we do have control over. And that's something that, you know, I've really worked with my clients and coached them on is let's talk about what we do have control over. And so things like keeping our blood sugar stable, you know, I think there's a cascade of hormones that happen. So if we're eating things that are raising our blood sugar, raising our insulin, we're going to end up with all kinds of repercussions from that. And so making sure that as we are keeping our blood sugar stable, eating foods that are going to nourish our body, that's actually going to help keep our hormones more stable and help the transition to be easier. In addition, strength training actually helps to keep those hormones nice and stable. You know, and then making rest and recovery and stress reduction. I think stress is like if you are experiencing high stress and you haven't learned how to manage your stress, that can absolutely exacerbate your hormones and make the transition of perimenopause and menopause much harder. So I think if we start to just, you know, look at what we can take control of, a lot of our clients got through it with very minimal symptoms. They didn't have, you know, a big swing happen. They didn't have a lot happen. Some did have to go on hormone replacement therapy and, you know, did work with their doctors and their medical professionals. I think there is, you know, for some people, that is the right path to work with a medical professional to help get through and take what you need to take to make sure you're going to continue to be able to get your sleep, like you mentioned, because sleep is everything. Overall, it's really just about looking at what do I have? Because I think, you know, a lot of women feel like they're going crazy during that time of their life. And, you know, when you look at the list of symptoms that can be happening, it's, you name it, you know, everything from hair falling out to not being able to sleep well to everything, right? Like you hair growing in places, like all of a sudden on your facial hair, you know, what's going on, like all kinds of stuff happening that, you know, hasn't been happening. And women feel like they're going crazy sometimes. And so, you know, taking a step back and going, okay, what do I have control over? What can I take action on? How can I make sure that I'm going to feel as good as I can feel?
One of the things that hits me presently is the state of the state of women's bodies today. And that is that we're on course right now to actually have a milestone historic occurrence that I'm not too thrilled about. And that is by the year 2030, a majority, whether it's 51% or more, but a majority of American adults will be obese. That's 2030, and that is only 6 years from now. There was a time, even 25 years ago when you were starting out and prior to that, when we used to use the word average. Well, the average woman, now I don't know what the heck an average woman is, because it's kind of a mess out there. It's almost like extremes to a certain degree. So since the late 1990s, the majority of Americans, adults, have been overweight. Now, whether it was by 10 pounds or 20 pounds is academic, but the fact that we're crossing over the obesity mark is something else. So when a lot of people like yourself, who really want to go out there and be change agents, are facing a very different demographic, that's a different challenge. It really obviously depends upon your geographic locale where you're working, but so many women today are quite overweight or already obese. And I think that a lot of them feel helpless, hopeless, and defeated, because how are they going to get out of this mess? And we all know that nutrition is the king, and that's what really makes the biggest difference in terms of the actual fat loss. But exercise is what seals the deal. Without exercise, whatever you do with nutrition, well, just freaking good luck trying to sustain it. So you need both. But when you're challenged, Rachel, with women now who are quite different, who are heavier and have been so maybe for quite some time, potentially have been yo-yoing all over the place, gaining and losing and gaining and losing, etc. How do you approach that?
So one, I meet them where they're at and connect with them. I think, like you said, most of them do feel like it's a losing battle, right? They might feel like they don't have the confidence. They feel maybe intimidated to go into a gym. And so most importantly is to connect, listen, and build trust so that they will trust me, so that they will follow the path that I lay out for them. From there, it's about, you know, looking at where they're at today and how can we make one step forward. And I think, you know, that's the biggest thing is, it's the how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? And I think, you know, a lot of women may feel like they have this elephant, right? Like, oh my gosh, like I'm so far from where I want to be. How do I even begin, right? So it's literally just figuring out what's our next step with our nutrition. You know, I really like to focus in on, you know, let's talk about what you're doing now and let's talk about one change we can make. You know, let's make sure it's going to stick, because, you know, everyone can go on a really hard diet and really, you know, and drop a bunch of weight and then go right back off it and gain it all right back. And that's not going to stick. And we need to figure out, you know, how are we going to help you to make changes that are going to be sustainable for the long term, that are really going to be habit change. And so really looking at, you know, how can we make baby steps to progress you. And that's, you know, with a lot of the clients that have worked with us. I mean, we had one lady named Sue who came in, her doctor said, you have to go start exercising or you're going to die. Like, this is, you know, you're at the point where this is not non-negotiable, you know? And so she came in begrudgingly. She really didn't want to exercise, started working with us, and she had bilateral knee replacements. And during our initial evaluation couldn't get down on the floor because she was afraid that she wouldn't be able to get back up. So we started her very baby steps, you know, the small step up, doing supported where she's holding on to something, you know, to do her squats or to do some of the exercises that we had her do, and then start to make small changes in her nutrition and her lifestyle. And over time, she actually ended up feeling like an athlete. She ended up realizing that she was an athlete, and she actually she got involved. We had a mud run team that she got involved with, and then she ended up getting into a triathlon, and then she ended up getting into powerlifting, and she loves powerlifting, and she ended up going to the world championships for powerlifting. And so here's this woman who came in not wanting to exercise, not wanting to make the changes, but had to make the changes. And now she's shifted her identity to become a completely different person. But it's been baby steps over time.
And the issue is, you know, the grand majority of women are not going to end up going to world championships for anything. What they're happy to do is to remain independent and functional.
When Sue came in, I would never think that she would have become our gold medal world champion, but you just never know. So I'm just going to throw that out there.
You know, the thing is that once you tap into someone's kind of their inner spirit and they allow themselves to believe that they can do something, although, again, the majority of people will never see world championships for anything, but their idea of a triumph would be lifting that water in the grocery store without needing any assistance and putting that luggage in overhead without any assistance, etc. That to them is their gold medal for the day, because, you know, it just builds on itself after a while. I'm just saying that by the time a woman hits 50, if things go swimmingly, I mean, she's got a minimum of 30 to 40 plus years left in her life. And that's a long time. But during that time, this is an extremely challenging time, because she will be dropping some muscle mass in the seventh decade of life, which is completely age-related. It will occur to every single person, male or female, in that decade of life. But if you've, you know, if you've got enough on board already, then whatever you drop is not going to be that so significant as to change your life or to get you too close to frailty, from which there is no return. I just think that as we're looking at the years, you know, kind of 50 plus, especially with 40 plus being the real strong preparatory 10 years, what you're really trying to do is just stay independent. And you're trying to be much more functional so that you can enjoy life. And in reading your book, Aging Strong, what I saw was that message all the way through the book, which is, you know, this is a time in life when you really need to start addressing this. This isn't just about getting into a size, you know, 4 and looking hot. This is about whether or not your health is impacted, whether or not you're going to maintain independence physically and mentally, because we all know that there's a huge connection between physical activity and cognition and all these other things that you don't think about when you're 25. When you're 25, it's just like, you know, how hot can I be today?
Right. And even like a lot of the women that I talked to, they said when they first came in, you know, as they're approaching 40, they thought it was about weight loss. You know, like myself, as I approached 40 and had gained 10 pounds, you think it's about weight loss. But then as you get going, like you're talking about, it's not about weight loss. It's about being able to do the things you want to be able to do.
Yep. And what are your greatest challenges dealing with women 40 plus?
I'd say it's putting themselves first. I think as women, we tend to be caretakers. We tend to say yes to probably too much. Often that leads to saying no to yourself, you know, whether it's saying yes to your kids or saying yes to maybe your elderly parents, you know. So, you know, you have to start. A lot of times women have a lot of people that depend on them. So it's really helping them to make that shift of realizing that if they don't start making time for themselves and carving themselves out as a priority and really starting to say yes to themselves, that they're not going to be able to be there for all of the people that depend on them. So I think that's the biggest shift. And once they realize that, you know, as like a lot of the women who have worked out with me over the years, now it's a non-negotiable. Now it's like I go to the gym and it is non-negotiable. It is on my schedule and nothing gets in the way of that, because I know that's going to help me to be the best that I can be.
How do you make a mind-body connection on your work?
I mean, the mind and body are connected for sure. So how do I make a mind-body connection? I think it's part of the process. I mean, it's part of, like I said, it's a complete identity shift. So I think strength training is one of the best ways to, yes, it'll change your body, but it will change your mind to realize you can accomplish anything. I think for many women over our lifetime, we've been told you can't, you know, you're a woman, you can't lift too heavy, you know, you're a woman, you can't do a push-up, do a girl push-up. You can't, you know, even, I mean, the first woman who ran a marathon didn't want her to run the marathon because I think they thought like her uterus was going to fall out or something. So, you know, it's like we have this like conditioning. Even like I remember as in grade school, like the girls don't do chin-ups. You guys can just hang from the bar because, you know, you can't, right? And so it's shifting from you can't to starting to get them to what can I do? How much can I lift? What if I can do a push-up? What if I can do multiple push-ups? So really shifting that can't to a can throughout their journey. I think that's the biggest mindset shift that strength training, I think, helps with. Strength training is not just about the exercise. It's not just about what your body looks like. It's about completely like a complete empowerment of your mind so that when you finish your workout, you leave in a different frame of mind. And I love to see that with all of our clients. I love to see the transition. I love to see the identity shift. I love to see them get confidence, knowing how to load a bar, knowing how to walk up confidently to a squat rack, knowing, you know, feeling like they belong in a gym. And I think that empowerment and feeling that mindset shift is, it ends up showing up in all areas of their life.
I just read in the current issue of Vogue, and I think in something else, some articles about Brooke Shields. Suddenly she's sort of kind of popped back up again. She's still doing some acting and she has some kind of a company that's got some products, you know, with aging and whatever. So I was fascinated. I was like, wow, how old is she? She's 59. And I said, that's just impossible because in my brain, she'll always be this young actress with the really wild eyebrows. She still has wild eyebrows. I might, you know, she may be having to dye them now.
But I was going to say, that's impressive, actually.
Yeah, I mean, she totally has them. And I just had to see what she looked like because I haven't, I mean, seriously, she's not been on my radar for a long time. So they said on Netflix that Mother of the Bride was one of the kind of very popular shows. I'm like, I have never seen it. Okay, so maybe I'm a total loser and I just don't know cool things. What I was fascinated with was looking at her, because in the back of my mind, I just can't get the kid out of my mind. You know what I mean? It's like, and so there she is, and she definitely has things that have gone on over like her menopause and the rest of it. I notice how they kind of hide her belly a little bit. She's still beautiful. She still has, you know, beautiful curves and stuff, but she's not like that super skinny little thing, you know, that she used to be. I'm just fascinated with that. And then watching the changes in her face, she has a beautiful face. She has aged very, very well. And it made me think about something. So I'm going to ask you a question. So you're now 49. I'd like you to tell me how you'd like to be realistically when you're 59.
Gosh, that's a hard question. I mean, in my head, I'm going to, you know, be stronger, fitter, healthier, able to do even more because I want to keep progressing and keep, you know, pushing myself to reach new goals. But obviously aging will happen and aging does happen and it's part of the process. And so for me, it's just really about every day doing, again, what I have control over to continue to be better than I was yesterday. And with that, you know, there are going to be changes that will happen, you know, hormones and aging and wrinkles and all of the fun stuff that comes along with aging. Aging is weird. You know, like you said, like when you think of someone like Brooke Shields, it's inevitable, right? We all are going to go through it and we all, you know, it's not something you can avoid. And I'm okay with it. You know, I'm okay with that process. I'm excited about that process. I've seen so many of our women. I mean, like I can't believe. I mean, the woman that's on the cover, she's in her 60s and she's amazing, you know, and she just keeps getting better, keeps getting fitter, keeps getting stronger. So I'm so inspired by so many of our clients that I've been coaching for 20 plus years and really seen them, you know, take control and be able to continue to age, looking fit, looking strong. Like, sure, her hair is a lot grayer than it was when she joined our gym, you know, but it looks beautiful and she looks great, you know, really just embracing those changes at the same time, also not giving in and just saying, oh, well, it's too late. It's too hard. I may as well not even try.
The aging thing is weird in our culture. And I think you'd agree with me that it freaks people out. A lot of people who are just not thinking about it, and suddenly they look in the mirror and they're like, what? How'd that happen? Where was I? Did I miss the memo in my inbox? Here, have some crow's feet. And how about that belly? You know, the belly during the 40s and 50s, Lord knows I've written enough about this, are a huge change. And it happens to absolutely everyone. But the question is the degree to which it takes place. So, you know, I've been on the foundation board of the National Senior Games Association. I have been a competing senior Olympic triathlete. One of the things that has always blown me out is when I walk up to so many of these athletes, you know, representing especially their 60s, 70s and beyond, who are world-class, major league swimmers, track and field, all the rest of it. And they do have a little something-something around their waist. There's like a little, I mean, you can grab it. I mean, it's nothing huge, but it's there. And it would not be there if they were 20. And I remember walking up to one of them who was a pole vault world-class. And she just smiled and she said, you know, that extra little skin thing there and all the rest of it. And she's 70. She said, nah, never stopped me from getting a world record. And that's the way I want people to think, because your body composition is most definitely going to change. Your muscle mass is going to take a hit in your 60s. There's no question. The degree to which that takes place depends upon what kind of great shape you're in when you enter your 60s. If you've got enough muscle there and you do go through that little drop, well, not a big deal.
And how much you continue to lift.
Yeah, and you just keep rocking it right through there. However, recovery time increases. There's no question about it. I notice that when I have a heavy lifting day, that I'm pretty pooped out that evening and the next day. So I make sure to balance everything out. And I've learned this over the years. I just came back from the American College of Sports Medicine's annual meeting where I'm on the board. And I was talking to a number of my colleagues who are also masters athletes. And they all feel the same way. It's like sleep becomes your new best friend. And you cannot ever shortchange yourself with sleep. Just as much as we need information about how to lift, we also need information about how to take care of yourself around that exercise time. And sleep is absolutely paramount, without which you're in a whole lot of trouble at multiple levels, everything from cognition to increased risk for dementia and all the rest of it. This is why every single time we have another wonderful author like yourself who is writing about and teaching women the importance of a strong mind and strong body, then, you know, I salute you, because this is a great book. Again, it's Age Strong, A Woman's Guide to Feeling Athletic and Fit After 40, which I just really think, again, needs to be part of our libraries as we're sitting around wondering what in heaven's name what we're supposed to do with bodies, female bodies, after the age of 40. You know, it's interesting, the word perimenopause only popped up recently. If you asked a woman 15 years ago, hey, how's your perimenopause? She'd give you like a strange look. Like, what the hell is that? Well, classically, during that time, which is usually, it could start as early as the late 30s, and it ends as soon as you enter menopause, which, as I said before, is on average around the age of 51, 52. So during that whole time, which is, you know, at least 10 years, your body is going through substantial and critical changes. And this is when we can pick up more fat deep inside the belly. That's the visceral fat that increases our risk for heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. And so many other changes are taking place. And this is why concentrating as you did, Rachel, you know,
making a focused effort. Yep.
And saying, hey, whoa, wake up. Hello. Wake
Now's
up.
The time. Yep.
Okay. 2x4 to the head. Come on now. This is the time to do it. Because look, let's just get real here. With all due respect to all the happy campers who wait until they're 65 to kind of get it together, it is so much harder. It is. If you built a base, and just stoke the fire, you don't have to be turning yourself into an athlete or something, but if you just build a base and stick with it, and then at times, challenge yourself with new sports and new things and always change it up, make it interesting. I think that that is absolutely critical because you don't want to enter menopause and postmenopause without that nice, strong foundation. And it doesn't take that much. It truly does not. You have to be joining, you know, $10,000 a year gyms or something. What you need to do is, first of all, find a great guide. And so someone with your, like yourself, who has all of the credentials, you know, that gives you that wonderful street cred that people should listen to you, you know, because there's a lot of trash out there. All you have to do is just, oh my gosh, hit Dr. Google, just see, you know, just the stupid stuff that is shared that is just total misinformation. And you brought up a number of those myths in your book. And so it's super important.
And there is a 16-week program in the book. So it, you know, there, if you look through it, that has, you know, and the cool part is all of the pictures, all of the models are a lot of the women I've been telling you about. They're all our clients. So I'm really proud of that you'll see real women in the book, and they're all over 40, and many of them are actually in their 60s. Because they started with us in their 40s. And so it's real women. And so you can, it's obviously, you know, a program written as part of a template that we use with the women over 40. And ideally, like you mentioned, you do work with an expert coach who can help to individualize it and make sure that it's specific for you. And
well, you know, it's because of the demographic. I would say young women who are blowing through college right now, high school right now, these are the alpha generation, Gen Z, even the millennials, they had weightlifting in their gym classes. Whereas women, more than likely, women who are for sure 50 plus, 40 is kind of, who knows what happened with those happy campers. But women who are 50 plus, more than likely did not have appropriate training under the guidance of someone with credentials as a fitness professional when it came to lifting weights. And if you don't lift weights with appropriate form, A, you'll hurt yourself. B, you're not going to get any results. And so you got to be very careful about that.
And I think a lot of women, they jump in and do too much too soon, not knowing, you know, thinking, I'll just do the same routine I did when I was 25, right?
Or what they'll do is they'll look around the gym and say, I'll do what she's doing, which is one of the biggest mistakes on the planet because you have no idea what her background is. So don't even try that. And so just kind of taking this methodically and strategically, What I would recommend then is that, you know, you grab Age Strong, look at the 16-week program, and then what you'll see there, I've noticed that this is a very comprehensive program. So this is written by a fitness professional, Rachel Cosgrove, who knows what she's talking about when she's saying things like, what's a warm-up? What is your core? How are we going to attack the upper body? How are we going to be doing any of this? This is so terribly important. And how to be able to think about your body differently and how to prepare to do your exercises appropriately and what you do. What is, you know, for instance, the base phase, the build phase, the stronger phase, the age strong phase? All of these are beautifully described in the book. And it's really important that women get the appropriate guidance and direction. So, Rachel, I think you've done a really great job with the book.
Thank you. That means a lot coming from you. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Before we close out, why don't you offer our Her podcast listeners one golden nugget, something that they'll be thinking about as they finish up this podcast? What could it be?
Well, if you're thinking, oh, I'll start on Monday or I'll start next week or I don't have time right now, which I'm thinking is probably, you know, you listen to something like this, maybe you feel inspired and, you know, you're like, I just right now is not the right time. It is the time. Like someday is today. Like literally, you know, don't leave this podcast without taking action, whether that means going on Amazon and buying the book or figuring out what gym you're going to head over to and, you know, just turn your car right around and head right over to that gym and get signed up. Don't wait any longer because, you know, like we talked about, if you wait, it's just going to be another day, another week, another month, another year. And then pretty soon you're in your 60s, you're in your 70s, and you're going, man, I should have started. You know, I should have started back when I was, you know, in my whatever age you are, right? Wherever you're at, whatever age you are, now is the day to start. So don't wait another day. Don't wait another moment. I hope, you know, through this discussion that you felt inspired and are ready to take action.
You're going to be ready when you're going to be ready.
Well, an action really breeds motivation, right? So maybe you're not even feeling motivated, but if you start taking action, if you buy the book and start reading it or, oh, sorry.
No, great minds think alike. And what I'm saying is that you may not feel like, you know, immediately like whipping out your leggings and going to some gym and joining up immediately, but you could take some kind of, as it were, small step. Even if it is to challenge yourself, maybe you've just been super sedentary. Well, get up right now and see whether or not you can, how far can you walk? Just get outside, slap on your sneakers. Do not worry about what you look like. Stop that. And just get on out there. Just surprise yourself. That's the action Rachel's talking about. Just do something and then convince yourself that you could take this piece by piece and then chop up every triumph into 28 triumphs so that little mini triumphs are taking place and they build on each other and they really help motivate you and get you moving, you know, in the right direction because everyone approaches change differently. Some people just hop on the little change bandwagon immediately and other people kind of mull it over and kind of tease it, dance around it, play with it, small steps, little things like that. So this is why this is all so good. I just love this. So once again, everyone, we have been talking to Rachel Cosgrove, the name of the book, Age Strong, A Woman's Guide to Feeling Athletic and Fit After 40, and it's available everywhere right now. Rachel, I cannot thank you enough for being on the Her podcast.
Thank you so much for having me and helping me to inspire more women. I really appreciate it.
Fantastic. Oh, my goodness. And here's another shout out to our sponsor, Solaray Vitamins, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y Vitamins, where you've got that award-winning Her Life Stages products. Boy, we've been talking about life stages this whole podcast, and here we are. providing support for the menstrual years, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause with fabulous products to be able to help navigate these hormonal challenges of this very natural journey in a woman's life. Run on over to solaray.com, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y.com, to learn more. Oh my goodness, this has been another amazing Her podcast. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, your host, and I want to thank each and every one of you for listening in and being such an important part of our Her podcast community. Pop on over to drpeek.com to learn more about my work in social media. Join me every single week for another Her podcast, where you're going to hear from extraordinary, entertaining, and engaging thought leaders, just like Rachel Cosgrove, as we share our wit and wisdom for you to enjoy. So thanks so much. And remember, your time in this world may be limited, but the things you can do with that time are not. So get on out there, seize the day. Hey, listen, have a great one.